Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett and we may have ticked over December 1 and people might be putting up the Christmas trees and getting ready for Santa to come down the chimney. But here at the Draft Doctors, that means ranking seasons. We're well underway getting our rankings done, ready for you, the listeners, to enjoy. But we did actually get a nice present on Friday afternoon where some of the positional changes for the 2018 seasons were dropped. And fair to say, there were some pretty interesting ones and some not so pretty interesting ones. And to help me go through them today is Steve Fizz. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing fantastically well. And I'd like to say a massive thank you to the great man, Warnie, for answering so many questions on top of the initial list. I thought above and beyond is the only fair thing to say. Thank you again to Archie for coming on the show last week. I think we really enjoyed that. But on the DPPs, the biggest surprise to me was that there weren't any surprises. Like, there was no Jackson McRae this year or no Taylor Adams or anything like that.
Hang on. There was one. We got Justin Westhoff as a mid-forward. It's gold. In terms of my keeper league, it's gold anyway because I need midfielders.
Well, I think I've built him in at around number 45, so that fits in with your overall list structure pretty nicely. Something happened. I think it was last week or the week before. You see, I don't know, it's a bit of American thing, so I suppose we'll crack it, but the Philadelphia 76ers with the Australian phenom Ben Simmons have started selling 4-20 meat pies at the games. And there was a bit of controversy when an American reporter tried to tuck into one of these 4-20s and just butchered it. Like, it was horrendous. It was going everywhere. And I just wanted to let the listeners know, having great culinary experience myself, the correct way to actually eat a 4-20 meat pie. So if you're at the sporting event, you unwrap the meat pie, put it in your eating hand delicately. If you're in the... I got it at home in the oven. Just squeeze a bit of sauce on top and walk over to the trash receptacle. Open the lid and place inside the bin. That is the correct way to eat a 4-20 meat pie at the mystery bag. Go down to the local bakery and get a goddamn real meat pie.
But speaking of the sauce, it does raise a lot of controversy of where you put it. Like, some people just lay it on top, but... other people just jam that sauce bottle right in and just squeeze it in the middle. What's your go-to preference on that?
Well, I like it because I like to have my pie, if I have it at home, I'll have a little bit of sauce on the side, but I actually have my pies without sauce, to be honest, because I go to the bakery and I get nice pies that don't require sauce.
Yeah. And all the way down there in Tasmania, I'm surprised he's actually here today. It has been snowing, so it's a bit of a snow-in for him. Welcome to you, Statesman.
Mena effing Gola.
F's for forward?
F is for forward. My forward line in my keeper league, in our keeper league, is looking pretty right now. We were all talking about how good my midfield was, but when you get Mena Gola, Billings, Boak, Akers, and possibly Lambert. We haven't heard about Lambert, have
Lambert's
we?
Lambert's in. Lambert's forward.
And Lambert, that is secured. My forward line is looking wonderful. Don't have to worry about Westhoff playing dual position.
Sam Doherty's on the table for a couple of those forwards.
But I can just say that made me feel very, very happy. Obviously, I need to search for an up-and-coming midfielder to replace Minigola, but when you've got Minigola and Boak sitting in that forward line, that's very... very, very pretty, gents.
Yeah, sounds pretty good. Like I said, I've got Sam Powell Pepper too. Maybe we can talk. But we'll just run through the teams quickly, some of the changes there. Starting off with the Crows, Paul Seisman's defender mid, Alice Yeoman midfielder, Hugh Greenwood loses his forward status and is a mid only, and same with Richard Douglas is a mid only, losing his forward status.
Yeah, I guess Seisman has some appeal with the defender status. That's, you know, I think he's in the conversation of being a D4.
Yeah, for sure.
But when you hear Bryce Gibbs talking about playing that sort of role on the halfback, that's a bit of a concern. But wait and see. There's a lot of talk this time of year.
But he can play up on the wing like it's not, you know,
anyway. End of the world. Moving on to the Brisbane Lions, we've got Hugh McCluggage as a mid-forward, Jared Berry as a midfielder. Alex Witherden is defender only. Reece Matheson is a mid-forward. Archie Smith, ruck forward. Jake Barrett is a forward this year. Mitch Robertson, mid-forward. Got a bit of interest in that one. Rowan Buick, mid-forward. And Steph Martin, pure ruck.
Yeah, I don't mind Mitch Robinson, and we've spoken a bit about Matheson. What I find really strange is we're seeing all these early best 22s coming out, and all of them have Berry on ball, and I find it really bizarre that sometimes Matheson's out of the team, sometimes Keyes is out of the team. I guess it's a wait and see, but I have a bit of interest in, like you, I guess Robinson's a low upside guy, but certainly Matheson.
Yeah, absolutely. Matheson, I'm hot on.
Yep, absolutely. Moving on to the Blues, Matthew Kennedy. There was some talk he'd get forward status. He's only a mid-only. Petrevski-Seaton is a mid-forward. Jacob Wiedering, defender only this year. Darcy Lang, a forward. Liam Jones goes to the back line. Dale Thomas, mid-forward. And Cade Simpson, a defender as well.
Yeah, Matthew Kennedy is probably disappointing for the owners for him. If he kept his forward status for another year, it would have been a boom year, but he's just going to be an M5. So late down in the draft, you would think.
Yeah, I'll just say I'm absolutely red hot on SPS. If this had came out last week, he would have been one of my sleepers. I love it. Really looking for big things.
Yeah, got that big X factor for Petrevski-Seaton.
Oh, it's moving just the inside role. Like, he's like 10 tackles in like 3 games. Like, this is... Oh, holy God. Like, he could average 90.
Ed Curnow going to stop that next year when he comes
back? No. No.
Moving on to the Pies, we've got Mason Cox as ruck forward. Tom Phillips is mid only. Love this one. DeGoey is mid forward.
Yes.
James Aish is a mid forward. Don't care. Yep. Jack Crisp. It's defender. Taylor Adams, ooh, we know he lost a defender status, is a midfielder. Hoskin Elliott is mid-only. No forward status for Steel side bottom, unfortunately, is a mid-only. And Daniel Wells is also a mid-forward.
Two you should be interested in there. DeGoey, I think, is due for his breakout, and being forward status is absolutely beautiful. And Jap Crisp, I think that's absolutely sensational. He's a defender and should be high up on the list, I think, when the rankings come out.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't mind that. And even a bit of a late lottery ticket on Daniel Wells is that mid forward too. If he gets on the park, could be anything.
Look, it's a redraft. He's going to go late. Why not?
Yeah, exactly right. For the Bombers, Darcy Parrish is a mid forward. Dylan Clark, mid forward. Devin Smith is a pure forward. Sean McKernan, ruck forward. And Brendan Goddard, pure mid.
Yeah, I was thinking about Goddard as being one of those that might be a boom man. I'm just interested to see what they do as a bit of a swap-a-rooney for their midfield this year. I think that's going to be a little bit different for Essendon. Devin Smith, big tick in the box there because he'll get some midfield time. And obviously one we're all hot on, Darcy Parrish.
Absolutely. Moving on to Freo, Connor Blakely, mid-only, sorry guys. Brad Hill loses that forward status, is a mid-only. No surprise, Harley Bennell is a forward-only. Michael Walters, mid-forward, and David Mundy is a mid-forward this year.
Disappointing Connor Blakely didn't get the defence, but means he will come late, and I think he'll be worthwhile to have. Bradley Hill as a midfielder really drops him down the rankings as a forward. It was his breakout year. Again, one of those players I was thinking that might be a boom man, but soon as he was a mid-only, he's just really not going to be high up in discussions.
No, that's right, and who knows what the hell's going to go on with Harley Bennell. Moving on to the Cats, Jackson Thurlow is a defender midfielder. The Statesman's boy, Sam Menegola, mid-forward. Cam Guthrie, mid-only. And they've got Danger and Ablett as mids-only as well. Interesting one with Cam Guthrie. Thought he might have got a defender status there. It was obviously a case to argue for it.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if he was one of those players who, in your position change leagues, added it during the season. But he does seem to float between the two roles. He's a bit of a Mr. Fix-It, isn't he?
Yeah, he certainly is. Moving on to the Gold Coast, Jack Bowes is defender. Braden Fiorini, mid only. Lockie Weller, mid only as well. There was a bit of discussion on the show here that we thought he'd get defender or forward status there. 2 meter pizza forward. Took Miller is a mid only. Ugh, horrible that one. Harrison Wigg, mid only. Would have liked if he got some sort of DPP status. Aaron Hall is a pure mid. Jack Martin is a forward only next year. Davis Swallow, a pure mid. Same with Jared Lyons. And the interesting ones, Michael Barlow gets the mid-forward status again as Pierce Hanley gets the defender midfield status again.
The only two of real interest there is Barlow and Hanley, but I'm just not convinced that they're going to be on the park and in the best 22 all the way through.
Well, good news for Barlow is he is back and he won the time trial. So, I mean, he's obviously recovered from the snapped leg.
Unbelievable. Don't get me started on the time trials. We'll get to that in a sec.
No, geez. No, but I mean, I know the time trials don't mean a heck of a lot, but at least he's fit, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. The GWS, we've got Will Setterfield as a mid-forward. Jacob Hopper is a mid-only. Number one ruckman at the GWS. Rory Lobb is a forward-only. Get on board that. Lockie Whitfield, he's a midfielder. And Brett Deledio, pure forward only. So maybe a little bit of value there for Brett Deledio.
I think Setterfield and Rob are the value there.
Hot take, Jono. In my early Supercoach rankings, Rory Lobb, number 6 for the forwards.
Yeah, can certainly see that. To the Hawks, Kieran Lovell and Dan Howe are mid-onlys. Ryan Burton, defender only. James Sicily is a defender forward. Isaac Smith loses that forward status, as we predicted at the start of the year. Is a mid only. Will Langford is a mid forward. Gunston, pure forward. And Sean Burgoyne finally loses defender status and is a mid only. So just adding talent to my... I know it's in your keeper league, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah, I just don't know whether I'll hang on to him this year or not. It's going to be. It might be one of those players you let go and redraft pretty quick, smart.
Possibly. To the D's, Harley Balick is a mid forward. Gus Brayshaw, it says defender midfield, but I think it was, there was a bit of a type. That is right. Okay, yep. So defender midfield. Petrakos retains the mid forward status. The GOAT, Cam Pedersen, ruck forward. Alex Nilla-Bullen is a forward. Tom McDonald, defender forward. Bernie Vince loses his midfield status to become defender only. And Jordan Lewis is a mid only.
Tom McDonald's an interesting one, isn't he? Because he's generally a pretty handy player. And of all the DPPs, I think defender forward is the most valuable. But I hate the swingmen. And that's what he's going to be this year. I hate playing swingmen because you don't know what role they're going to have. Where do they score best? Yuck.
But you look at Hurley, Michael Hurley, early in his career, he was that swingman and just horrible for his fantasy scores.
Absolutely.
I've met a couple of nice swingers in my time.
I bet you would have in the Navy.
I thought that was illegal in Tasmania. Was that your previous...
Moving on to North Melbourne, Ryan Clark, defender only. Braden Pruce, ruck only. Luke McDonald gets defender midfield status. Nathan Horover is a forward only. And Sean Higgins loses his forward status to be a midfielder only.
Yeah, gee, Sean Higgins would really line up. That's the sort of burn man you'd throw at us this year, wouldn't it be, John?
Certainly would be. Just that low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Moving on to Port Adelaide, we've got Sam Powell Pepper, mid only. The Chad Wingard, mid forward. Sam Gray is a forward only. Donuts Motlop, pure midfielder, people.
Ugh. 70 average midfielder, excellent.
So still more than Took Miller.
Tommy Rock, Midfield only, Brad Ebert mid only, Robbie Gray pure forward. As we mentioned earlier, the Hoff is a mid forward. Travis Boak gets that forward status, and Paddy Ryder goes to pure ruckman there. Moving on to the Tigers, Nankervis loses forward status to be a ruck only. The Gingerhead genetic freak in Vlosten defender. Brandon Ellis is a defender only this year, so a bit of value there, I think, for Brandon Ellis. Dusty, as we knew, is a pure mid. Rhys Conker is a defender, and Josh Caddy retains that forward status to be a mid forward.
It's kind of the status quo, isn't it, with Richmond? I guess the hard guy to rank is Kane Lambert retaining that forward status. We know he did some great roles through the midfield during the year and scored quite handily. Is he going to repeat that? Well, it's hard not to rank
him.
Time will
tell.
They didn't exactly add huge names outside of the draftees, I guess.
No, that's right. Moving on to the Saints, we got Jack Sinclair, pure midfielder. Jack Billings as a pure forward. Blake Akers retains that mid-forward status. Jack Steele is a pure mid. Jack Nunes also stays as a pure mid. No DPP for him. And Kobe Stevens is a pure mid as well.
That'll hurt a few, Jack Nunes not getting defensive status.
Yeah, your thoughts on Jack Steele being mid only?
That's where he played, inside mid. Yep, that's what he is.
So the thing about Jack Steele is his game time is so low. I shouldn't say it's so low, but it's sporadic. Like, one week it can be a very nice 69%, and the next week it can be 86. Is this just a case of him building a tank? Because he can score when he's in there. Like, the guy laid 17 tackles in a match last year. It's a thing. Like, he can do it. You know, you'd love to see that base, the floor game time come up, and he'll be more consistent, and he'll be usable as a midfielder. He averaged like 90 last year.
Yeah, that's right.
So. Interesting to see what they do with him, because you can say exactly the same with Matt Crouch, who gets really low game time, and also Ollie Wines, who does the same thing, but we've just been waiting for those tanks to build, but it just hasn't happened with the time on ground. So Jack Steele just might be in that sort of group where they're sitting between 60 and 75 percentage time on ground, which is never pretty.
No. Moving on to Sydney, and there's a fair bit of changes there for the Swans, starting off with Zach Jones being a midfielder only. Same with Nick Newman moving to the midfield as well. Isaac Heaney, thank the Lord, retains his forward status. Jordan Foote as a mid-forward. Jake Lloyd retains that defender status, but loses the mid status. Kurt Tippett back to a ruck forwards. Can get a bit of value in there if he does stay on the park. And also Kieran Jack gets forward status as well, which he did score quite well towards the end of 2017. So could be a late-round pickup there for Kieran Jack.
Did Kirk Tippett play a lot in the ruck and forward line in the NEAFL?
Certainly can. Well, in 8 games he played ruck forward, so.
Yeah, it's. I got to be honest, I don't have a lot of love for these guys. Kieran Jack, yeah, you mentioned he scored well, but it was only in a few games and it lifted his average from like nothing to something. So, I don't know. I'm not a huge fan.
Moving on to the Eagles now.
Did Hewitt retained it? Hewitt's one I do have some interest in.
Yes,
Hewitt
yeah,
kept
I don't
forward
think
status. That might have been in the right questions and answers. Yeah,
I didn't write it down, but yeah, I think so. The West Coast Eagles, sorry, Dom Sheed owners, he is a mid only for 2018. Elliot Yeo becomes a pure defender. We expected that to happen. Mark Hutchings is a mid forward. And Liam Duggan finally gets that defender status.
Yeah, as expected. The Sheed train is stopped somewhere out in the middle of the Nullarbor, and the Duggan train is just powering through. according to people. Sources tell
me. The train that goes between Melbourne and Perth?
There's an H in there.
Yeah. And to the Western Bulldogs, who are just too hard to pick and rank in anything this year. You got Tim English, who's a ruck forward. Josh Dunkley, pure forward. Tom Boyd as a pure ruck. Toby McLean retains that forward status, so pretty happy with that. Jack McRae loses his forward status as a pure mid. Caleb Daniel is a mid forward. No DPP for Lockie Hunter, retaining midfield status. Hayden Crozier is a forward. Mitch Wallace, mid forward. Luke Dalhouse, mid forward. Liam Picken, forward only for 2018. And Matty Suckling, as always, is straight up defender.
What did they do with the Western Bulldogs? Just put a list of names and a list of positions, just threw them up in the air and see where they landed?
Pretty much. That's why Bond didn't get defender forward this year.
I'm not having a crack at the people that have done the actual positionings here. It's just what the coach does to them.
70% of you are mid-forward. This is the problem.
And that's how Bevo loves it.
This is the problem with ranking them. You've got like eight guys who will all score like mid, like low to mid 80s if they get the role. But who knows if they're best 22? Like Wallace, Jong, Dunkley, all these guys will score okay if they get the role in the game time. But some of them are going to not even play.
Yep, that's exactly right. But it is the... If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, at Staceman33. We've got the website there, thedraftdoctors.com.au. Check us out on Facebook and on Instagram as well. But it is that time of the year. It is the Burnman Show, where those guys who've got a role change, they're not going to return the value that you give them. It could be age, they could be falling off the cliff. But these guys are going to burn you next year when you draft them. Why don't you kick us off, Steve?
Yeah, okay, well, why don't I kick us off at the very top, the number one dream team ruckman. Of course, I'm talking about Brody Grundy from Collingwood. Averaged 106 and dream team and 97 Supercoach. He was number five, but does enter as the fourth ranked ruckman on Supercoach from last year's average, Mumford Tide. And I hate to retread it from the Good Vibes, Bad Vibes show, I really do, but we've got a lot of new listeners. And quite frankly, I've got a memory like a sieve and I can't remember anyway. So let's go over it. I did see someone on Twitter actually this week say that in draft, ruckman is the most important position in your draft.
Push it.
And
sorry.
Yeah, look, I will say league size and team structures matters, but we know that to just be absolutely inherently false unless... If you pick the absolute outlier ruck in the mid rounds, then fine. Like Gorn a couple of years ago, it can pay off. But we know drafting a ruck early is a bit of a mistake. So I'm telling you that last year's number one dream team ruck will burn you like a Caroline Reaper chili in your jocks, Jono, if you don't mind. Look, as I mentioned, the averages look fantastic. The 106 and 97, they're great. But the splits when Mason Cox is in the team as opposed to when he is out is where Grundy absolutely gets slaughtered. So when Cox missed games last year, Grundy averaged 115 Dream Team. That makes him one of the top players in Dream Team. Captain option every week. And 105 Supercoach. To when Mason Cox missed, to 89 Dream Team and 81 Supercoach. That's a 26 Dream Team and a 24-point Supercoach drop. Collingwood have re-signed Mason Cox for another 3 years. He looked better towards the end of the year, which is just horrendous as a Brody Grundy keeper owner. I can't imagine Collingwood aren't going to play him. And people will just look, Brody Grundy, top of the list, bang, he's my number one ruckman. You're just not going to get any value on that unless Mason Cox gets injured or I can't see it paying off for you. Just an absolute folly. Wait on your ruck. Don't take Brody Grundy.
No, I've done the start of my ruck rankings this year, Steve, and every ruck is really hard to rank because we know we can get that late round value where we saw it with Cruiser and Witts last year. But Grundy, in terms, I'm mainly talking from a Supercoach stand point, he doesn't even make top five. I'm even struggling to get him in that top 6-7 bracket. I mean, especially with Cox now, you're not going to return that value.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd much rather draft Nick Nat. I'll probably get him later, and he'll probably score better.
Yeah, well, exactly right.
Especially in your Super, maybe not in Dream Team, but You know what I'm saying? Mm. It's just a value, yeah. value thing.
Totally agree, mate. It's that Cox thing's a real issue as well, but it's just proven year after year. It's only Dean Cox that has been that consistent outlier, number one ruckman, where you could just bank on year after year after year, getting him nice and early. It just hasn't happened ever since Coxey retired.
No, and That's exactly right. To be honest, to me, it looked like Grundy was going to be that next guy, but it's not going to be, unfortunately, unless there's a change of heart within the coaching box. But you can't say there will be based on the contracts that they've given out. They would have let him walk if they felt that way.
And Buckley has no heart, so yeah.
Or any.
Statesman, who's your first burn man? I'm very interested in this one.
Archie. He's my burn man. Took my seat. Took my chair. So the way I get the burn man back is my number one burn man is Luke Hodge. Some may call him a sleeper. Others might call him a burn man. I know Archie likes the sound of him in defence for the Lions, and I think many will, but the data would suggest otherwise. It's been a decade since he's played all 22 games. That's right, 2007. And only once in the past 6 years has he played more than 19 games. His average amount of games over that time is 16 games a year. Remove his one outlier year in 2005. He has averaged 89 points per game over that five-year period. Highest average in that time, 97. The lowest, 77. Last year, he stayed on the park more than he has in recent times and averaged 86. His peak scoring power was 2005 to 2011. That period is long gone. We do have fond memories of these scoring stars, but their names blind us at times. He is there to lead. He is there to coach. He's not there to rack up the pill. He won't travel much, and even if his body holds up, he'll still only play around the 16 games. I will also note, Jordan Lewis dropped 15 points per game leaving Hawthorn. Sam Mitchell dropped 10 points per game leaving Hawthorn. What's going to happen to Hodge? High 70s, early 80s. Because of his name, people will draft him early because they're going to give a bit of security to their defence that they will think. But unfortunately, Luke Hodge, who will play well, will lead well, will coach well, but he will burn you.
I've got no doubt he's going to burn you, but where I'm looking to pick up Luke Hodge is towards the end of my draft as that D5 as bench cover. You know he's not going to play though every game, but he's still going to be. They're still going to look for him, I think, in that defence, the Brisbane Lions.
Yeah, for me, this is the problem, is I agree with both of you, because what Archie's saying is that he could go in round 20. I don't think that's going to happen unless it's like an hashtag expert level draft. I think it's more likely in your casual draft that he will be a burn man, because he, like you said, we all know the Luke Hodge, we say brand value. Say it every week. It's such a thing, and people look down, see that, and if you take him early, then yes, he will burn you. So I agree with you both, but I think it's more likely that he'll get taken early than late.
I will say my motive for naming Luke Hodge was just to burn Archie, because he sat in my chair. Yes, I may have been suspended, but he sat in my chair. Very quickly. Archie, would you like to cover Statesman? Yes, of course I would.
Well, we tried to get Jock Reynolds and Warney and, you know, everyone else, but
they show respect. They show
they were busy.
Respect.
They were busy. I'm sorry. We could get only get what we can get.
Jeez, Archie, I hope you're not listening.
He's a good man.
I thanked him.
It's a joke.
That's all right. He won't hear when he comes to the show. He won't hear this till 2019, what with the time difference and everything. Right. That's
fine. That is true.
It's just where you take him. I mean, I'm not taking him early. I don't think anyone of us are, but I think people will look at that name and hashtag
especially as you've said before, Steve, we've got some Hawthorn fans in our legal record, and they might still feel a bit sentimental to having that Luke Hodge name in their team.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's like the same as like Brady Grundy. You can get Brady Grundy at the right spot, but it's not the bloody first two rounds.
Yeah. No, that's right. Well, you guys have brought some hot fire to begin with, so I'm going to bring a bit of my own. He's from one of he's one of the players from my team, and that's Luke Dalhouse. He had an ADP this year of 34, but there is no way he's going to return that sort of value if you get him at around 34. Average 19 Supercoach, 88 in Dream Team. Look, with averages like that and the forwards we've lost this year, that's putting him inside an F1 position for 2018. You are not taking him as an F1 position. Steve, you've been doing your forward rankings and you're struggling to rank the Bulldogs players because we just don't know what to expect from them this year. What did we just say? There's 10 mid-forwards for him next year. It's crazy.
With Dalhouse, I had him in the F3 range, which sounds crazy, but we just saw the second half of the year. He was taken away from the midfield. The Doggies are struggling for goal kickers. He is a proven goal kicker. There's a lot of moving parts to that Dogs team.
But that's the thing, Steve. Going back and doing the research, his goals dropped off this year. His tackles dropped off one a game. So there's 4 points there. Over the last 22 years, his game's gone from a kick to handball ratio of about 1.5 to 1 to where he's now to one kick to 1.7 handball ratio a game. So he's more handballs than kicks, which really affects that score too. And we've seen it with players who have predominantly handballs. You just can't build those big ceiling scores where we saw with Luke Dalhouse a couple of years ago, averaging the hundreds. Toby McLean playing midfield, kicked him out of the center square. He was just playing that, I'm going to say it, that Lockie Hunter pie floater role where it really hurts your fantasy scores.
Yeah, it's hard to build a big score in the forward line as a small forward, even one as good as Luke Dalhouse. I'm with you, Jono, absolutely. I think he's going to go within the first four rounds somewhere, and that's too rich for my blood.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Like, love him, but I'd be looking at him, as you said, as that F3 as well.
Yes, I wouldn't have him. I just honestly, I got so frustrated with him. I had him in about two or three formats this year, and he was just annoying, and I just have not got the confidence with the coach and what role those players are going to do. And it's funny, he could burn us the other way because all of a sudden he could go full-time mid and average 102 to 105. You just don't know. So, yeah, I can understand why you would pick him as a burn man because that's certainly what he felt in 2017.
Yeah, I certainly just wanted to put the whole Bulldogs team as a burn man team and just look to avoid for 2018. Mm. But if you are enjoying the show, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher and SoundCloud. If you've got a couple of minutes, please hit the five-star ratings button and do drop us a review. We've got a lot of new listeners out there. Leaving a review and hitting that five-star rating, it props us up the rating so the new listeners can find us much easier. Helps us get our brand out there. We're doing a lot of exciting things for 2018. So please do leave us a review. We're happy to read it out on the show, screenshot it, send it through via the social media. We'd really appreciate it. But who's your second burn man there, Steve?
Well, boys, that fruit, she's ripe. She's ready to pluck.
Low-hanging?
She's pretty low-hanging, but I'm talking about a midfielder who's averaged 102.3 Dream Team last year and 100.5 Supercoach last year. That's a pretty handy season. And I know a lot of people will scoff when I say the name Brad Ebert.
Scoff. Oh, scoff.
Because it's not a hot take like saying Robbie Gray or anything, who was a prime candidate. But the reason I wanted to bring up Brad Ebert is simply the truth. He's about to be a burn man. And why, you might ask? The reason is when everyone prints off their list by averages or scrolls through the scores on the computer, heading into the 2018 season, he's ranked as the 22nd midfielder in Dream Team. That's a high-end D3. In Supercoach, he'll be the 28th ranked midfielder. That's a low-end D3. So the reality is, he's had a cracking season, And we know recency bias is a big thing in drafts. You rank off last year's average because how could it ever be wrong? So he will be overdrafted. Now, there are some positives about Brad Ebert. Well, number one, he never misses a game. I think he's missed two games in the home and away season in the last 8 years. So, and aside from 2016, he's been a reasonably consistent scorer. So to have to see him have a career year in 2017 was somewhat surprising. The reason was he was more inside than ever. He's always been a fantastic tackler, but that went up 1.5 per game from his career high. That's 6 points. He went up 1.6 more contested possessions per game than his career high. 1.3 clearances per game more than his career high. A contested to uncontested possession rate that is 7% higher than his career normal. He had career high disposals. And now Tom Rockliffe has entered the fray. So the fact is, he is either moving to the more wing time or just playing alongside a player who does everything Sam Pepper did, but better by twice as much. So that equals less opportunity for Brad Ebert. He also had a career low in marks with the move. So that's to be expected when you're more inside. There's going to be less marks for you than if you're on the wing. So let's say from a score bill perspective, he loses a tackle, a handball, a kick, and gains a mark. That drops him 6 points. Now, that doesn't sound like a much, but if you drop 6 points in Dream Team from last year, that actually makes him the 43rd ranked midfielder. So he goes from, and that's if that's all that he drops, okay? So I like him as an M6, but if you drop from the high-end D3 to a D5, an M3 to an M5, like, that's a huge drop. Like, and that, like, it doesn't sound like much, but that's 6 points. That's what it does. So I'm okay with him in the M6 range, and I love the fact that he never misses. I think that's really overlooked when you're drafting players, but just please do not scan down last year's list and grab last year's average.
Yeah, it's going to be a real challenge for Port Adelaide fans and for those that like fantasy scorers from Port Adelaide, because there's so much change, so much new blood coming to that team. No one knows what they're going to do. Even Rockliffe, they're talking about being predominantly a forward player, and I'm thinking, my God, how is that going to affect his score? He can't really pick up. He can still score well and maybe get the forward status down the track. So I'm really concerned with Port Adelaide. I think it's very much a watch. I'm, as you know, been hot on Ollie Wines for a long period of time, points per minute star. But with all these players coming in, he's not going to increase his midfield time.
Now, the reason I picked Brad Ebert is because, like, he has a 10% higher game time than Ollie Wines. He's just fitter. And then, so they're not going to move Ollie. Ollie Wines doesn't have any other tricks to his game. Correct. We know Ebert can go outside, so I think that's what should happen. Robbie Gray was another consideration for me. Just Port Adelaide averaged the second most goals per game last year. If there's all these more forwards, Robbie Gray's not going to kick more goals. So unless he got a role change or Port Adelaide becomes the highest scoring team in the league, he's not going to average more. It's a strange mix, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm
putting them in the Western Bulldogs basket where put that big warning of do not draft, because Donuts Motlop is going to take Rocky's and Ebert's job inside that midfield and be the number one Port Adelaide scorer.
And you'll get him late, so that's a good picture, and I like it. He's in your keeper
team. There you go.
He'd fit your list strategy.
He would. He certainly would. I'm going to redraft a whole team of players going to another team and see how that works. Who have you got as your second burn man there, Statesman?
Well, I'm going to continue to upset people. So Michael Hurley for Essendon, the defender for Essendon. He had a standout year in 2017. It was a career high by 11 points per game in AFL Fantasy and 12 points per game in Supercoach. At 28 years of age and a player that has never played more than 20 games per season, someone will draft him as their D1 because he actually finished on averages in the top six. And it's very likely that he'll burn that pick, and that pick will most likely be in the first four rounds, because if you look on the averages, like Steve just said, from last year, that's where he's going to be sitting, in that top six to 10 players. I would suggest with his career average of 73 in AFL fantasy, he's actually more likely in the peak of his career to be an 80 to 85 scorer, a D3 or D4. A very good player, but if you invest in him so highly in picking him in the first four rounds, he will burn you.
Yeah, I certainly can't see him going as a D1, and only an Essendon supporter would do that because they're all on the drugs down there at Bomberland.
I think he will. I think he will draft too. Him there. Absolutely, yep. Especially in Supercoach drafts.
Yeah, I suppose, coming from a drafter's perspective, they'd see the average and just go, yep, tick, got the highest averaging player from 100. Last year. And
he averaged like 100 in Supercoach.
Well, he was one of the only defenders in both formats to average over 100 in both formats, and so people are going to see that, I guess. But jeez, the body—it's all about the body. Does not hold up for me.
Yep.
And that's one thing we warn about people on the show: is don't draft people with injury issues.
I don't know. I'm not as. I don't know. I'm probably not as. Down.
I know you like him.
No, I mean, Michael Hurley, I'd probably still have him as a... I mean, I guess the thing is I'm not going to get him because I want him as a D2. And he's just not... He's not going to go
there. Perfect D2. No. My second burn man, he's just moved to the Adelaide Crows. That is one Bryce Gibbs. Now, similar to what you guys have said, Bryce had a career year in AFL fantasy, averaging 112, which is 5 above what he's done before in AFL fantasy, and 102 in Supercoach, which is about par of what he's been scoring. Now, in terms of total score, that puts him as the ranked fifth as total score in AFL fantasy, and 17th in Supercoach for total score. So, as Steve said earlier, when people are doing their list, they're going to see Bryce Gibbs right up the top there, putting him essentially as a round one pick and a round two pick, essentially. I've got alarm bells ringing for me here on Bryce Gibbs. He's moved to a new club, and unless your name's Paddy Dangerfield, Heath Shaw, Gary Ablett, who just seamlessly make that transition, most players who move to a new club always seem to struggle to find their feet the first year where... Yes, they've scored well in their old clubs, but they don't just go bang the next year and repeat what they've done. Also, there is talks of a role change for... Bryce Gibbs himself has come in and said, I'm happy to play down in defence off that half-back's back line. But Adelaide's a pretty fantasy-friendly scoring team. Not everyone in that team is going to be scoring hundreds left, right and centre, especially if he's playing in defence. I mean, only Rory Laird's the only one who scored 100 there, so to have two defenders scoring, averaging 100 in defence, unlikely for me. They've just come off of a pretty bad grand final loss. Is the Don going to change the game plan up from that fast free-flowing football to a bit more lockdown? We don't know. It's a big wait and see for me. I certainly wouldn't be getting him at his ADP as well, of 51 in 2017. That's generally pretty high for Bryce Gibbs. Normally he goes a bit later in those 8 or 9 rounds, but certainly one to watch for Bryce Gibbs, and one that can really burn you if you go too early on him.
He's a weird player because he's such a good player, such highly ranked, but he's never been really the flavour of the month. But if you've had him over the last couple of years, you'd be reasonably happy with his returns. And I must admit, I've never owned him other than him being a defender. So I've made mistakes on him before. I can understand that there may be some burning involved, but they've been hot on getting another midfielder. So I'm thinking there's no other thing than him being the midfielder. And who do you tag there? Sloan? Gibbs?
Sloan.
Crouch?
Sloan. Your thoughts, Steve?
In my initial build, rankings build, I've got him at mid-32 for Supercoach, which I think is really fair. And generally, I'm in the please draft Bryce Gibbs camp because everyone hates Bryce Gibbs and he generally doesn't let you down because if he scores a 90...
He's vanilla. That's all he is. He's just vanilla.
Mate, he wasn't vanilla last year, I'll put it that way.
Well, he's a good vanilla. A good vanilla.
He's a fantastic player. I think you're right. If people draft him based off last year's average, then that's a concern. But I think he'll score less, but I don't know that he'll actually burn you. Like, you know, I was mentioning Brad Ebert will drop 6 points and get 20 points less. Like, he might average... I still think he could average over 100. Like, you got to remember where he's come from. He's come from such a crap team, and now he's going into...
like, good team.
The team that finished on top of the ladder. Like, and if he is going to play defender, if you're in a position change league, wow. I mean, I'd love a piece of that action. Yeah, I'm with you. I think he's a potential burn man. Like I said, I've got him at the high-end M4 range for my Supercoach. I haven't done my dream teams yet, but I think I'll probably miss him if that's where I've got him.
Always been a better dream team averager than Supercoach. He's always been the low 100 in Supercoach and the mid 105 sixes in your dream teams, except for this year where he's gone the 112. So certainly one to watch there for Bryce Gibbs.
Well, I wonder what he'll be kicking it to a forward line of Tex Walker and Eddie Betts and Tom Lynch as opposed to a forward line of Liam Jones.
No, he played defence. It'll be...
no, that was this is years past. He's been there for a long time. Thinking, you know what I mean? Charlie Kearns.
The Casbolt. Now.
Oh, that's my point. Yeah. He might actually get some goal assists now as opposed to some score assists or some out of bounds.
Well, he actually can kick a goal himself, so maybe he plays the Charlie Cameron role.
He's a jet, man.
Very underrated jet, that's for sure. But potential to burn you in 2018. But Steve, the people, they've been demanding it. It's now the Draft Doctor's top five list. It's become widespread. And this week, we've got our top five savoury snacks that you like to munch on while watching the footy or enjoying this pod. So, Steve, what have you got there? It's your top five savoury snacks.
Do you want me to lead this out? This was your baby, John. I didn't really want
to. You want me to?
This. This is your thing. This is your. I'm just an innocent bystander in this. You know, you want to talk zoo animals? I'm all on it. But savoury snacks, this is your wheelhouse, I reckon.
I was even going to go with four, because that's my cutoff, but I managed to sneak in the top five. Coming at number five, Cheezels. Been an Australian favourite since we're kids, since we're growing up. So you've got to have your Cheezels, stick them on your fingers. Well, you've got a beer in one hand, five Cheezels on the other. Stick it, get into them. Number four, microwave popcorn. Get the triple butter explosion. Bit of salt. Hey,
popcorn sucks.
No, it microwave popcorn.
It gets stuck in your teeth. Like,
do you brush your teeth?
Yeah,
come straight out. Add a bit more extra butter on there for that.
Cheezels get everywhere too. It looks like you got gum disease after you've eaten two.
Ah, but you're at home watching the footy. No one's coming around. You're sitting there in your bloody tracky dacks. No one cares. Coming in number three, salt and vinegar chips. Got to be Smith's crinkle cuts because no one likes that Thins crap. It's got to be crinkle cut. Number two for me, pretzels. Love me pretzels.
God.
Oh.
Unbelievable.
This is a horrendous list. I thought you'd bring something better than this, Johnny. This is crap.
Yep. It better finish well.
Well, you're not going to like it, but Steve will. Number one, it's chicken twisties. The number one savoury snack that you can eat. That is it.
Well, I like chicken twisties. That's just...
the number one snack.
That is an abomination of a list.
What have you got? Go on. I'll be the judge of this.
All right. Number five, barbecue shapes. Got a lot of shapes. Like, come on. All right. Man. Number four, there's going to be some controversy around this one, but dill pickles. I love dill pickles, man.
You're on your own on that one, Val.
Yeah, I thought I might be.
What?
But they're so salty. You know, like you get the jar of
dill pickles. Also, pretzels?
No, I never heard of dill pickles.
I've heard of dill pickles, but...
dill pickles.
You know, the big green things?
Yeah, the long pickles that are flavoured with dill. There's dill in the thing.
Do you like long, round things in your mouth?
Yes. They're fantastic. So, Jono's got little holes in his mouth with the Cheezels. I'm not about that. I'm not about the whole life. I'm about the long, round thing life. Number three, olives. I love getting the chili olives from the... olives are fantastic. You're a goddamn...
I'm a wog and I don't eat olives.
You're a Philistine. Olives are the goat, especially when you put that well, they're not the goat because they're number three, but when you got that chili marinade on them, chili and garlic marinade from the shops, that's awesome. Number two, how about chicken nuggets? Fantastic snack. I purposely left things off that aren't a meal, so nachos aren't a meal, chicken wings are a meal.
But well, I count chicken nuggets as a meal, so...
You do? I see they're a snack for me. Little Zoe, yeah. Zoe Fizz, loves the nuggets. We often, after I pick her up from daycare, we grab some nuggets as a snack. I heat them up as a snack. They're a snack. And number one's chips.
Hot chips.
No, just potato chips. Potato chips are the goat food of all time. I was having garlic bread, but I ate garlic bread as a meal, so I don't know.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen, okay. Let's go to a bit of taste, a bit of class, of course. But I will say I'm a bit of a chips man, so there's a couple of mentions of chips here. So number five is pate and water crackers. Pino hey, and
do you
pate.
Reckon, what do you reckon Archie's doing? Is he awake yet?
Pate, yeah, I'll give him a call. I got his number.
Secondly, natural nut mix, so no salt, no roasted, and that's mainly because I love nuts in my mouth.
I was tempted to put nuts on there. I actually had them on, and then I got rid of them for barbecue shapes. How good are cashews?
I love the mixed nuts, all the different textures and different flavors, but I love them natural because they're actually very good for you. Now, three that aren't good for you, number three is barbecue shapes. Love them, and I will say that I have an issue with barbecue shapes because they started brilliantly and then they went to like an overseas, it was made in Australia, a reasonably expensive little snack, and then somehow got made in Taiwan for about 6 or 7 years and there was no flavoring left on them. They went back to original recipe where they got back all the flavor, but it seems to have gone again. Is that correct?
I haven't bought shapes for a while, so I wouldn't know.
I had a box last week, and I was a little bit disappointed, I've got to be honest.
Yeah. Do you know what they need? They actually need, you know, you go to the spice section of the supermarket, they just need barbecue-shaped flavouring. Just put it on your steak, put it on your whatever, your sandwiches.
That's not bad call.
Interesting. Yeah, could be. Number two is salt and pepper chips, in brackets, has to be Smith's.
Yes, has to be Smith's.
Has to be Smith's. Has to be the crinkle cut. Always been the best. Although I will say, Samboy used to be big when I was a little younger. And that's when Jeff Fenwick said the flavour really hits you. But I only see Samboy barbecue now. I don't see salt and vinegar.
I only see Samboy when you get the show bag and you get the cheapo chips. I haven't seen Samboy here for years.
Well, there you go. And number one is the Kettle Chili Chips. Really hot and spicy. Absolutely beautiful. Nice. Oh. And you know what? People that don't like spice, leave them alone. So I just get the whole bucket.
But they're not even spicy. If you want spice, I've got some Ghost Reaper sauce in the fridge I'll send to you. That's spice. Put them on your chips. Sauce. Yeah, that's one of the hottest chilies in the world.
Excellent. Beautiful.
Gee, I thought you would have had caviar number one there, but I suppose that goes with the pate, doesn't it?
Toast points. Toast points.
Some caviar, some Grey Poupon. And...
Yeah. What was that movie? Wayne's World.
Wayne's World.
Yeah.
So contrasting lists there.
I'm blown away. I don't. You guys, Red Rock Deli chips are the best chips.
I did have them originally at number five, which was actually the sweet chili and sour cream, Red Rock Deli, because I actually like most of their mixes. But I just said, no, really, if I had a choice, would you like to get some chips or some pate? Unless they're the Kettle Chili or the salt and vinegar, I'm generally going the pate. But Red Rock do really good chips.
Right, like black, was it black pepper and lime?
Yeah, it's not bad.
That's my DFL flavour from them. That's a good call.
Yeah, no, I do like them, but I don't see much anymore, the black pepper and lime ones, so might be just where I live, I don't know. But that just about wraps up the show for this week. Thank you very much for listening. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter. where we are at the Draft Doctors or at Statesman 33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. Check us out on Facebook as well. If you've got any comments, questions or queries, just send them through to there. If you've got any top five lists you'd like us to do, please send them on through. It is ranking seasons. We've got a couple more shows to get through, but towards the end of the year and right into the new year, we have rankings coming at you left, right and center. So do stay tuned and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.